Everyone, please accept my condolences. This old British ship will break. Alright, I stayed for correction. Reality Mother Jesus said they still London, Ontario. So she's still in Canada. I'm glad that. I thought London, England. Thank you very much, Reality Mother Jesus. So it's very comforting for me that she'll be with us now. Hare Krishna. Again, please accept my condolences, all British Prabhupada. So let's get started. First, we'll offer our prayers to our Guru Parampara. Om Ajnanati Nirandasa Jnananjana Salataya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sudhi Chaitanya Manavishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantukam Vandeham Shri Guru Sutta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Dev Shri Radha Krishna Pada Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Jai Shri Prabhupada, Jai Shri Prabhupada. Now let's offer our prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is not different from Krishna. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurutishe Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatara, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given, pure love of Krishna. Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishna Sangha Pranga Astra Pashadam Yajnai Sankirtana Praye Yajanti Sumedasaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregation chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons and confidential companions. Now we offer our prayers to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, the direct associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that includes Sri Jiva Goswami, whose six Sandarbhas we are trying to study. Nana sasa vicharnai kanitunau shad dharma samsthapakau Lupa nama hitakarinau tribhuvane Manyau Sharanyakarau Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Anandena Mattalikau Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuvau Shri Jiva Gopalakau Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let's read the translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, namely Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Dasa Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizing and studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Shri Radha and Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Narom Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nashtaprayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtapi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Jai Shri Prabhupada. Govinda Mali Purusham Tamam Bhaja. So, welcome back again. Please accept humble obeisances. All good to Srila Prabhupada. So, today we are, by the mercy of Srila Jiva Goswami and all the Vaishnavas who are by nature very compassionate, we get to begin the second theme of Bhakti Sandarbha. In the first theme, Srila Jiva Goswami already established that bhakti is the methodology or adhyaya for realizing the Supreme. So now he is going to go and tell us about the very nature of bhakti in a systematic manner, having already described the virtues of bhakti. So in this very first slide that you see here, it's the overview of this second theme. There are three sections in that. So we will be covering in these three lessons, lesson 10, which is going to be today, next week 11, and the following week lesson 12. And the anuchedas, or the text that we'll be covering, is numbering 121 to 164. So today in the 10th lesson, which is about the purifying and the nourishing power of bhakti, and bhakti itself is transcendental or nirguna, that means devoid the influence of the material modes of nature. So this bhakti that we are talking about is on the transcendental platform, not the kind of bhakti that in many Indian temples that they sing Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Dharaya Sukha Sampanti Sampati. Not any kind of material pursuits, even though they perform such yogas and all these things, but there is always a material object to the kind of bhakti that we are talking about. What Srimad Bhagavatam is referring to it is beyond this kind of bhakti, prajahita. So this bhakti is pure bhakti without any material objective. The sole purpose is to please Lord Shri Krishna. So that is the kind of bhakti we are talking about, and that is the nature of this bhakti. That Srila Jiva Goswami telling us about that. So that is the first section that will be, if Krishna permits, we'll be talking about today. And then lesson 11, text 139 to 148, that we'll be discussing the following week. It's about the next week. That is the bhakti, which is the unique aspect of the internal potency, that is the transcendental potency of Sri Krishna, and that is represented by Srimati Radharani. And it bestows inconceivable results What is it, my inconceivable, that we cannot even comprehend, is beyond our power to comprehend. That kind of results getting bestowed on a devotee who's practicing such pure devotional service. And the third section of the second theme is going to be discussed in lesson 12, and that will be in the text 149 to 164, and that will be the following week. This is about the participation once in bhakti into perfection. So anybody who starts even the glorified stage with bhakti itself will prepare us directly until we reach perfection. It never stops once it's begun, you know, by the mercy of Krishna and his devotees. So that is the great thing about bhakti. Unlike any other material pursuits, where we have to continually go on, and if you fail, then that's the end of it. All that has been done, it's total waste of time. But here, bhakti never ends. Even after liberation from material existence, even in the spiritual world, bhakti continues. So it leads us to perfection. And what is the perfection of bhakti, prema bhakti? That is the love of Godhead. That is what the ultimate perfection. So it will lead us all the way from the neophyte stage to that stage. You know? So it's a great thing. This is the overview of the today's lesson. This is lesson 10 again. Text 121 to 138 about the purification or purifying capacity and the nourishing power of this bhakti, prema bhakti, which is nirguna, which is transcendental. So three aspects of it that will be there. One is the purifying power of bhakti, which is text 121 to 130. Here, the theme that what we are going to try to develop is that bhakti destroys inauspiciousness and all simple reactions, even those that are fructified, what is called prarabdha karma, as well as those in the seed form or bija form, you know, and removes all obstacles along the path. Even the neophyte devotee, so that's a great thing about us actually. For me, that you know, we are all neophyte devotees, at least I am. So even for a neophyte devotee, all the obstacles from our path is automatically removed if we continue, if we have the zeal, if we have the determination to continue on this path. And my colleagues, Sanjeev Prabhu and Gopi Prabhu is also here, they can attest to that this particular aspect. For the 14 years I've been trying to do that, many, many difficulties came, you know. But all the time, somehow or other, I sailed through that, you know, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas and thereby Lord Shri Krishna. Because that is, I don't have any ulterior motive other than to continue this mission, the Lord's mission. And whatever I'm learning and trying to share with all of you, actually, you know. So obstacles does come, but we continue to bypass that obstacle, and that is what it means, that unobstructed, you know. So somehow or other, Krishna takes charge of us. So that is the real great aspect of it, that I feel particularly, really, very elated about that. So, and then text 131 to 132, we'll hear what has to say about the nourishing power. So once we once it purifies, bhakti purifies all the dirt from our heart, then we need nourishment, spiritual nourishment, to continue to keep going on this path. And that is what bhakti also does, that, you know. So bhakti bestows the virtue and blissful state, you know. So that's a great thing. And the third aspect, third and the final aspect in today's lesson 10, is that the bhakti is transcendental. It's not on a material platform. It's completely on a spiritual platform. Because of this, as we just heard, that is the internal potency of the Lord, Srimati Radharani. You know? So it has no, cannot put any obstacles on our path when we are practicing pure devotion. Even at the sadhana bhakti level, even while we are practicing, practicing devotee also, it helps us that. It keeps on nourishing us constantly. It helps us and then keep on nourishing spiritually. So Nirguna means it is devoid of any material qualities. It's a transcendental platform. And this is we will be hearing from the text 133 to 138. So these include the knowledge, and that is the knowledge is about Krishna, the Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, Bhagavan, the personal aspect that we have been hearing about. So that is a transcendental knowledge we are talking about. And then Lord's abode, where Lord resides, and the actions of Bhagavan, So that we are talking about all the different aspects of that, and they are all on a transcendental platform. And then faith, as you know all, the faith is required on the devotional path. From little faith that we have, we begin with that in 9 stages until we come to Krishna Prema Bhakti level. So faith is the beginning point. So here, even the faith that impels us devotion, impels devotion to Bhagavan, is not on a material platform. And so is dharma, rooted in Bhagavan. So this dharma we are talking about is Bhagavad dharma, chanting and kirtan. So chanting, so hearing, chanting and remembering about the Lord and his pastimes. So this is deeply rooted. So this is called Bhagavad dharma that we have been hearing about. So now we have been talking, I'm afraid we are going to talk a lot more, so much in this allotted time that we have now. So and so many complex things that we've been hearing about. And I tell you that one other thing I want to tell you about this thing. There's, I can guarantee you, there's something that we are going to learn, something new that you never heard before. At least I came across when I was preparing for this class, and I began preparing for my class only this morning only actually. And I learned so much about it that I didn't know before. So because of that, what I'm going to try to do today, something I'm going to do a little bit different than I used to do it then. So what we will do, we will take a break after we in the first subsection of this, text 121 to 130, then we'll take a break and I'll take questions from you, before we resume going on to the nourishing aspect and bhakti being nirguna, that's the second aspect. So that way we'll keep track of it and we'll get a chance to internalize what we hear. There's some of the things, quite a few things, new things, I can tell you, plenty, I can guarantee you really, that we are going to learn something quite different, Alright? So with that, we'll continue. And so please listen very, very carefully. I request all of you, listen very, very carefully and try to digest what I'm about to tell you, what I've learned from these things. So basically what we're going to do, we're going to keep reading these PowerPoints, because what Sri Jiva Goswami concludes and establishes, and then he provides as usual the evidence from different scriptures, primarily from Srimad Bhagavatam, So we will read these verses and we'll see how Sri Jiva Goswami connects with what he is establishing from that, Alright, with that, let's continue. So the first part, the purifying power. Because we are here, when we begin, we have lots of inauspicious things in us, in our heart. Ananta Upasamam Sakshar Bhakti Yoga Madhokshriya. You heard, remember that verse? Lokasya Janato Vidvam Chakra Satatam Samhita. So that's the reason why Sri personality, Srila Vyasadeva has compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam precisely to manifest that transcendental devotional service for us, you know. And that is bhakti yoga unto the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna, who is beyond sense perception of the ocean day. So first one, it's 121. The point that Srila Jiva Goswami is making here or establishing here is that devotion or bhakti, Krishna prema bhakti, pure bhakti, is the sole requirement of all. We really need our soul is hungry for that. The only nourishment for the soul is that. So we need that. And we need to purify our heart, because we are inviting Lord Shri Krishna to take his seat in our heart, you know. So heart must be given. And Krishna himself helps us that simply when we hear Shumatam Sokatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Simply we hearing about Krishna's pastimes and his holy name and so on like that, which itself virtuous. So when we hear that, what he does actually, because he is in our heart, you know, first as a supersoul expansion, then he himself takes seat in our heart. So what he does, he really cleanses the mirror of our heart. Udhyantastha Bhadrani, from right within our heart, he begins cleansing our heart. Vidunoti Suhut Sata, from whose heart? Those who are Satam devotees, those who are very sincere devotees, those who are determined to continuously uninterrupted apriyatya ayatuki, without any material objectives, without any ulterior motives, and we continuously sadanur sarvatra, always everywhere, for those kind of satam devotees, he does this cleansing process. So what Srila Jiva Goswami is saying that now that he has already described to us that bhakti is indeed the methodology, the means by which, and it is in fact Chatushtami Bhagavatam also we heard that it is indeed the component of rahasya, the most confidential aspect of that, which is Krishna prema bhakti. So and tad anga, by practicing devotional service, such pure devotional service, then that itself becomes the component, and that bhakti, it is the avidheya, it's the methodology that Srila Jiva Goswami has already established by citing Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures. So now what he is going to describe to us, again relying on this Srimad Bhagavatam primarily, and sometimes other Puranas also, Skanda Purana, Padma Purana and so on like that. Now he is going to describe to us the very nature, the characteristic of bhakti, what it is bhakti actually, in a very systematic manner. And bhakti, so ultimately he is again solidifying and the foundation is laid before that bhakti is indeed the methodology, the vidheya for realizing the Supreme, based on scriptural evidence, and primarily that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So bhakti is the supreme dharma, paro dharma, and that it fulfills all desires. Now, we have been talking quite a bit, and I keep reminding you all that we all have swadharma and paro dharma. Now, swadharma means that we all have certain duties to ourselves. We need to make a living, we need to eat, we need to breathe, so we need to keep body and soul together. Plus those who are depending on us, like our spouses, our children, family, relatives, society and so on like that, we all have certain duties to perform that we cannot avoid that, you know. Obviously, the Shastra is not saying to avoid them, but above that swadharmas, there is a parodharma. The parodharma is that supreme dharma, and there is Bhagavad dharma. We owe it to Krishna. So if we take care of that, Swadharma has already taken charge of, taken care of that. Let me share with you my own experience here. As I told you, I've been doing this 14 years. So you can, surely you can imagine, I must have had a lot of difficulties on the path, of course, you know. But how my Krishna's grace, my determination is unwavering anytime, you know. Now, for instance, currently I'm facing a lot of difficulties, you know. I didn't tell you before, but my mother, 94-year-old mother, and she's pretty much in a vegetative state, she fell down just about a couple of weeks back and broke her hip again. She broke her left hip about 3-4 years ago, and now she broke this time the right hip. So again the surgery was performed. She had to have a knee hip replacement surgery. And she went through that at the age of 94. Just imagine, and she is not just my mother. She is a great devotee herself also. When she could before she lost her mind, she used to attend all my classes all these 14 years, really. You know, no matter how long I would do classes, wherever I would travel, she would come with me and hear that. And every day she used to read and Srimad Bhagavatam 6 hours a day, all these years, up to age 90 or so, you know. So that kind of devotee we are talking about, not just my mother. So that she is now out of hospital, and now she's in a rehab center. And now, since I can't take care of her, she needs 24-hour care now, you know. And I'm unable to give her that care. So now, with a very heavy heart, we have no choice but to put her in a nursing home. So every day I go there, at least twice a day, sometimes 3 times a day, and she's unable to eat by herself, you know. And yes, those people are there to take care of her, but I need to go her there, and I have to personally feed her breakfast, lunch, dinner. Just like today also, I went there to feed her, and then I came here to make a provision for this class, you know. So I have to do that. This is my swadharma, you know. The other thing, as you know, that I'm planning to pursue another PhD. Now this time, I'm not doing build another career or making money or anything like that. I'm doing simply to so that I could be able to validate scientifically. And so that I would need a funding and funding, public funding, federal funding. You can't get it unless you have a job there somewhere, you know, a position in an academic institution. Who will hire a 73-year-old person, you know? So to make a long story short, I needed a credential. I already have a PhD in molecular genetics. So now I need a PhD in religion to develop a credential for my hypothesis, because I'm trying to prove that the power of bhakti, the very act of bhakti itself has the potential to elicit certain genetic changes in our body. And that is the reason how we communicate, how there is a triangular communication between the individual soul, the supreme soul, and our material body. Material body cannot understand, say, inner body. It cannot understand any other way, only the material terms. So that is the basis of the foundation or the working hypothesis, that the only way the spirit soul can communicate with this body is to elicit some material changes in the body. And those changes, those genetic changes, now can be measured scientifically. So you can establish this communication scientifically. That is my hypothesis. And on that, I'm trying to write a book. And the book is also now, they have to take a little back seat on that, you know, because of these priorities. So what I'm trying to do is this, that I need another PhD. And to get admitted at the age of 60, they are also going to ask me, what you are going to give back to the society, you know. Why would they give me the fellowship, scholarship, without which I cannot do that? So in order to do that, and of course, there is entrance exam called Graduate Record Examination, GRE. It's a standardized test, and you have to score at least a minimum of 98th percentile, you know, to get into a decent school. So is if see, on one hand I have to take care of my mother, on this hand I have to prepare for this very test, which itself is, you know, as you can imagine, I've been out of school for the last so many years now, you know. So nevertheless, I have to study, and study very hard for that. So I'm doing that also. So all the things I'm doing, and still, I cannot stop my daily sadhana. This must continue me. So my class for you guys that I'm giving you, it cannot be stopped. I could have done that, but I didn't want to do that. Because that itself is my nourishment. The bhakti is my nourishment. Keep going there. Keep going forward. So see that Krishna somehow allowing me to take care of my swadharma at the same time when I'm willing to take care of my parodharma. And that also I depend on Krishna. Okay? All Krishna is, everything is done by Him. All we need is that do we have that kind of genuine desire, genuine determination, then Krishna will take care of that. So here is that I'm sharing with you so that you can get something out of it, you know. But I am a living example how Krishna takes charge of my swadharmas, automatically taking care of that. So I'm sorry about you to maybe digressing that, but I thought I'm not entirely digressing, because it is, I'm trying to make a point here, you know. With my own example, in this day and age even, everything can be done actually, if you have a strong desire. And then, if you have a strong desire, if you have I many times I should tell you that, it's a burning desire, fire in the belly, you must have that. Because you have a goal, you want to accomplish that goal, you know. And for that, and then when you have that, the determination comes from that ability, desire to accomplish that goal, determination comes automatically. And when you have that kind of determination, automatically you will be willing to make necessary sacrifices also. Without sacrifice, without doing the, without paying, there is no gain. So you have to do that also, you know. So devotional service is beginning. So here is the verse. So what's the point what he's trying to make is that, Jiva Goswami, devotion is the sole requirement for all. We must add that. It is the very requirement that we must have that, you know. So in support of that, he is quoting this evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, 3rd chapter, text 22. And as you know, 6th canto is very, very important canto actually. There's this Ajamil story also is there, you know. How Ajamil, that's the virtue of chanting, or when he kept chanting, even absent-mindedly, not even realizing, he was chanting Lord Narayana, which happened to be with the name of his youngest son, and he was in deep difficulty, he was chanting that at the deathbed, you know. But nonetheless, still, Krishna sent his own messengers, Vishnu Dutas, to rescue him from the Yamadutas, who were ready to take him away. And he had performed a lot of simple activities in the process actually now. But nonetheless, because he had done a little bit bhakti, that bhakti came along. So bhakti can protect you from greatest fear, you know. Svartam kyasya dharmasya, trayate mato bhayat. Even a little bit thing we had done on bhakti platform, Krishna never forgets. It's in our spiritual bank, and we always come very handy when we need the most. So that is what Ajami's story is there too also, you know. So this is from that actually that part. So and what does the verse say? Devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. See that? Another verse, Sri Jiva Goswami quotes is this: an intelligent person who is desireless, full of desire, desiring liberation, with worship the Supreme Person with fervent bhakti yoga, intense bhakti. And as you can tell, you can guess, what is that famous verse? You should really by heart that verse. Akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo udardi ingrena bhakti yogena yet yajeta purusham param. See that verse. So even if you have if you have no desires or full of desires or desire for liberation, nonetheless, you should worship the Supreme Person, and that's so with great intensity, tindrena bhakti yogena, you know. So that's how we should do that. So this is what Jiva Goswami is establishing, The devotion is the sole requirement. We must all do that. This human form of life is actually meant for that. Otherwise, you are blowing up this great, great opportunity that having a human form of life. It is becoming an obligatory, I believe. So, next point, next verse. So, then second point is making the bhakti destroys inauspiciousness. Remember, this is what we are talking about, the purifying power of devotional service. So, it also destroys all of the sinful and all inauspiciousness in our heart, you know, the anarthas. The path follows, so here the verse is quoting again in the 6th canto, chapter 1, text 17. The path followed by pure devotees who are well behaved and fully endowed with the best qualifications is certainly the most auspicious path. Now listen very carefully, let me read again. The path followed by pure devotees, see that? We actually follow in their footsteps, even as a neophytes. Who are well behaved and fully endowed with the best qualifications is certainly the most auspicious path in this material world. It is free from fear and is authorized by the Shastras. See that? Another verse, this is from Vishnu Purana, he quotes. Now he quotes many, many verses, Jiva Goswami. And in interest of time, I'm just giving you just few examples, you know. Because of the constraint of the time, you know. So, and this was Vishnu Purana. I take shelter of Lord Vishnu, the unborn and eternal, simply by remembering Him. Remembering Him what? Remembering Him, the Lord, the Supreme Person, Godhead. One becomes a recipient of all welfare. Then you simply hear, chant, remember. Shrotavyaha, Kirtitishtavya, and smartavishya. So that what's required, and then we get all welfare, all auspiciousness, real results. And then bhakti removes all obstacles from our path. You know, obstacles may come, but he will remove from all our path simply by the being of our powerful devotional service. And there's a verse here from the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, text 33. Someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? So in order to answer that, to this question, dear Lord Brahma is saying this verse. O lotus eyed Lord, he's praying to the Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from the position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. So there are other paths are there. You know, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and all these things are there. But none of them compared to Bhakti Yoga. And we've been hearing repeatedly this particular theme all the time. So only Bhakti Yoga really gives you this supreme spiritual result. Okay. I hope you've been hearing carefully. Because every verse, obviously I'm saying that they are very, very important verses actually. And this is another verse from 10th canto. O Madhava, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you, sometimes fall down. Now this verse is very important actually. And this Jiva Goswami is making this point quite often now, repeatedly throughout today, you know, in this today's lesson. Because sometimes, just because we are devotees, doesn't necessarily mean Krishna is so merciful, so kind, that he doesn't expect full perfection right from the beginning, actually. So we, even though we have this result, we have this goal in our mind that this is what we want to reach, but we are not ready yet. we are still a neophyte devotee, we are practicing devotee, so we do have sometimes this material desires in us, you know, and sometimes we even fall down to that. Nonetheless, Krishna does not forget us actually. Once we set our goal to reach Him, so Krishna again takes charge of us and He picks us up and puts us back on the bhakti platform actually. So this is a verse is all about that. O Madhava, Supreme Personal Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you, sometimes fall from the path of devotion. They do not fall like non-devotees. See that falling down of a devotee is not exactly on the same platform as non-devotees fall down, you know. Because why? Because you still protect them, you still protect your devotees. That's the reason Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, He tells Arjuna to declare, you know, boldly declare, Name Bhaktya Pranachati, my devotees would never fail, you know. Thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continues to progress in devotional service. You know? This is the point I'm telling all of you. Once you set on the path, keep moving, keep all the time. Sometimes in mistakes, sometimes we lag behind, you know. Still Krishna is so merciful, so kind, He will again help us. But we must, the important point I'm trying to tell you all very repeatedly, that you must desire in your heart. That is the one what Krishna looks for us actually, within us. Although Vritrasura, now here the Jiva Goswami cites some examples to strengthen what he's saying, that sometimes devotees fall down, but that fall down of a devotee is not exactly on the same platform as non-devotees. Non-devotees will then again keep taking birth again and again and continue this transmigration in the different species of life forms. But devotees know, he will, and told you at the beginning also, it takes Krishna personal charge to take you to perfection all the way. All the way. He takes personal responsibility for it. He is at every step of the way, you know. So here are the examples. Dhritarashtra, Gajendra, Bharata, and King Bharata, you know, they all fell down, of course, you know, their auspicious birth, from their auspicious birth. But their intention to perform bhakti was carried over into the next birth in lower species. Now Bharat Maharaj, remember Bharat Maharaj? He had reached almost to the Bhava Bhakti level, almost to the next to Prema Bhakti perfection. Even at that stage, what happened? He became attached into baby deer, you know. He saved the baby deer, you know, from predators. And he became so attached, slowly, gradually, he became less and less on his devotional aspect of it, you know. And then the time came for him to give up his body. At that time, he thought, because he was engaged in this thing, in his final, that deer he was thinking about, what will happen to that deer? And then for that, he had to take again a birth, now in the deer's body actually. Because Krishna says, Yamyam Vapi Smaran Bhava. So whatever the thought that occupies your mind at the time of giving up the body, then you have to come back in that form actually to fulfill that desire. So Bharat Maharaj had to come. But Krishna did not forget all these things, he did that. So what happened, even his dear's body, actually he remembered who he was and why what happened that he fell down. So when the dear's lifetime is over, he again, Krishna gave him the human form of life and then Jana Bharata. So now he become so completely protected himself from any kind of material activities. No. So that's one example. Then about the Dhritarashtra, remember he was a king, Chitraketu, and remember that what happened then? And he was cursed by Mata Parvati because he did a little minor offense to Lord Shiva, and then he had to come into this demoniac form of life as a Dhritarashtra. Nonetheless, even the demoniac body, he was an exalted devotee, and he remembered all these things actually. and it continued, and the entire story is in the sixth canto. So Arjuna's story is there, and Dhritarashtra's story is, these are the two main aspects in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they are the wonderful, wonderful, one of the most important lessons that you learn from these two pastimes, actually. So there also, Lord did not forget him, actually, no? And he was such an exalted devotee. Even Indra was ashamed, really, seeing his devotional aspect of it, actually, you know. And then, of course, Gajendra, you know, Gajendra, he was in the elephant body, but in the previous lifetime, he was a great person, actually, great devotee, actually. He prayed. So even in the elephant body, when his life, his own life was in danger, because he was attacked by a crocodile, in the lake, deep lake, and he was being pulled inside, he was about to lose his life. At that time he remembered the prayers, and so Krishna makes sure even the devotee falls from the lowest piece of life forms, he makes sure that he remembers from his previous lifetime whatever the bhakti had done before. So Gajendra came up with offering prayers to the Lord, and Lord did come to his rescue. You know, but remember one of the lessons that we learned, that when somebody was asking question that how is Krishna, the Supreme Lord, supposed to be the ocean of mercy, right? Ocean of mercy. Doesn't he get any compassion over it? So then we learn that Lord is compassionate, not because the material miseries that person is going through that, but under the material miseries, when he's praying bhakti, that is what really attracts Krishna's compassion. So Krishna's compassion is on that aspect of it. Not, he is not touched by that's what we learned in one of the lessons, actually. by the tremendous suffering that somebody is going through that. Now, according to my mother, you know, she's undergoing suffering. She does not even have a mind now. She's completely in a vegetative state. But Krishna doesn't condemn that. So now Krishna is making sure that all her karmas are going to be resolved right in this very lifetime. So she is ready to go back to Godhead, actually. And fortunately, Krishna is giving me the opportunity to serve such an exalted devotee like my mother. And that's what I'm trying to do that. You know. So even though I'm going there, feeding her, always taking care of us, actually this is part of my devotional service, I consider that. You know. So Krishna is taking charge of that, you know. Krishna is providing. So I put a picture of Srimati Radharani and Krishna, Radha Krishna, right on our table. So I'm praying to the Lord, please take care of my mother here. You know, she's a great devotee. Now her mind is lost. She's not able to chant. She does not know who she is. She is totally unaware of her environment. She is completely oblivious who she is, where she is. She does not even sometimes recognize me also, you know. Nonetheless, Krishna takes charge of that, you know. I'm absolutely certain that she's going back to Godhead now. You know, it's really tears my heart. She's a 94-year-old mother, 94-year-old individual suffering, has to suffer even in this stage, you know. Tears my heart. Oh, look, can do that, you know. We cannot, you know, we have to have trust and protection of the Lord's protection. We have to do our part. There's nothing else we can do. I'm praying, Krishna, please take her now. You know, please take her. Don't let her suffer anymore. If you suffer enough, you know, please take her. But Krishna has other plans, you know. We don't know what his plans. We have no idea. We cannot guess what he's doing there. Why he's doing, what he's doing, we cannot guess. But we must have a faith that whatever he's doing is for the ultimate wealth of ours. He is the Sulu Dhamsava Bhutana. Is the best well-wishing friend, yeah? Okay, I'll continue. Text 122. Even the neophyte devotee is unobstructed now. This is a great thing, this, that I'm a neophyte devotee. You know, I have a long, long way to go then, you know. And still, Krishna is making sure that all the obstacles from my path, he is removing from my path. And let me continue on this path. All these 14 years I've been trying to do this, to serve one of you. By force, is because of him. If he were not there, I would not have gotten such great devotees like Sanjay Prabhu, you know. He has been with me 14 years. He has tolerated sometimes my outburst, you know. But the fact that I am so eternally grateful to him, he is constantly with me, you know, all the time. And now I have got some more devotees, you know, Makarand Prabhu, you know, all these people. So this is what Krishna is saying, right? As long as you have strong burning desire, fire in your belly, to stay fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord, actually. And you do your part, don't worry about the result, sorry about thanks. You continue to do your part. And even when you lose your mind, like my mother, he still will take care of you, you know. So Lord, here an example is given about Kardam Muni. Now if you remember, this is the third canto story about Kardam Muni. Kardam Muni is the son of Lord Brahma. So Kardam Muni is a son of Lord Brahma, and he has been asked by his father, Lord Brahma, to create progeny. He is the progenitor, you know, one of the progenitors. So he was praying to the Lord that I need a wife now, you know, to raise the population of the newly built universe, you know. So he prayed that. So now Lord Vishnu did actually come, and he already said that I have already selected a wife for you, actually. And Kardam Muni actually marries the daughter of Swayambhumani Devahuti, and Krishna himself, Lord himself, appeared as the son, Kapil Dev, you know. And we know all this third gender. So here, Lord is addressing to Kardam Muni, my dear Rishi, O leader of the living entities, for those who serve me in devotion by worshipping me, especially persons like you, who have given up everything unto me, so that Lord notices everything, whatever we do that, you know. He never forgets. In fact, he has such a wonderful nature, even a little thing which we do that, he amplifies tremendously. And the greatest offense we commit, he minimizes that. He is that kind, Lord, actually, you know. And actually, I'm making an example. I've seen so many times in my life. And that is what we build up, or to stay put on this. So there is never any question of frustration, he says, Kardam Muni. Don't be frustrated, you know. I always selected an appropriate bike for you. And then he arranges Devahuti actually for him, you know. Okay, another verse from 11th again. Now Krishna is talking to Uddhava now, Uddhava Gita. Having awakened faith in the narration of my glories. Now listen, every verse is really golden verses, really. Jiva Goswami selected this, very carefully selected all these verses, you know. And that tells you the purifying and nourishing power of devotional service. So such powerful devotional service, why would not anyone take up that, you know. Sometimes I really don't understand. And that is Hriday Durbalyam. It is weakness of the heart, you know. We have to come and transcend that, you know. And the only way we can do that, by constantly the holy name and associating with the devotees, actually. And we will hear later on the power of Sadhu Sangha. So having awakened faith in narrations of my glories, now Krishna is speaking now to Uddhava, being disgusted with all material activities. When a person is completely fed up with all these material sufferings, then he comes to Krishna's devotional service, you know. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, four kinds of people come. Artha means those who are in great material discomfort. Most of us come to that platform because of that, you know. So being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that sense glorification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment. See that? This is exactly the situation of this. Even at the age of 73, so much fixed in devotional service, and still my heart cannot get rid of those sometimes this pestering material desires, you know, enjoying propensity. That is there all the time, you know. That's why we need the shield, of devotional service. So I'm telling you, frankly, that even my heart is still not pure. Still I have sometimes this tremendous enjoying capacity, I have the enjoying desire is still there. So that's what he's talking about. So such a neophyte devotee, that is still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment. My devotee should still remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. So Krishna is appreciating, in spite of that, if his devotee, he knows that this desire is futile, I'm never going to be able to fulfill that, and it is leading me into a slippery path to hellish planets, you know. And so, but still he can help it. So he still keeps praying and keeps engaging devotional service. That is what touches Krishna's heart, actually. That is where his compassion comes there, actually, you know. So that is what he's saying, that, you know, that even though he sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents this. So exactly same question was Arjuna was asking that. The same answer was given by Krishna to him, Arjuna also. He said that he will take care of that, you know. So, text 123 to 124, bhakti removes all fear. You know, in fact, that is what Krishna bhakti. Krishna is a bhayankar, another name of that. He takes away hari. Hari means taking away all our fear. You know. So this is about Prahlad Maharaj. How Prahlad Maharaj was tormented by his father simply because Prahlad was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, who was Hiranyakashipu's greatest enemy. You know. So he could not tolerate. So he tried to kill his own son. You know, but every time he tried to kill his son, Krishna protected him. Lord Vishnu's always protected him. He tells the words about that in 7th canto, actually, 5th chapter, text 23-44. Hiranyakashipu could not kill his son by throwing him beneath the feet of big elephants. He did everything possible to kill him, and every effort met in the disaster. Nothing happened, actually, to Prahlad Maharaj. Throwing him among huge, fearless snakes, employing destructive spells, hurling him from the top of the hill, and conjuring up illusory tricks, administering poison, starving him, exposing him to severe cold, wind, fire, water, or throwing heavy stones to crush him. Then Hiranyakashipu found out that he could not in any way harm Prahlad, who was completely sinless. He was in great anxiety, what will he do next? See that? That's what Krishna comes in. He always protects his devotees. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj was an exalted devotee, great devotee. And how did he get that? Because of association with Narada Muni, when he was still in the womb of his mother. Now, Sayadu. Oh, Vidura, now, this is Maitreya Muni is talking about, in the third chapter, to Vidura Mahatma. Oh, Vidura, how can those who have taken shelter of Lord Hari be obstructed by miseries coming from the body, mind, and gods, human beings, and so subhumans? So they said that, again, Maitreya Muni is saying the same thing. A devotee does not have to fear anything at all, you know, because he must know that my Lord will always protect me no matter what, you know, no matter what. His job is to continue to stay put in bhakti, and all the problems will come, of course, but they will be taken away from that, you know, by Krishna. Text 125-126. Bhakti destroys all sins, now purifying aspect of it, you know. So, see that it's continuing purifying aspect, of course. So, now this is a little kind of refresh your memory about what you learned in Nectar Devotion. Remember, we are suffering because of our past sinful acts that we did, you know, sins we committed in previous lives. Now, there are two kinds of sinful reactions, actually. One that is manifest already, that we are suffering in the present life. It's called prarabdha karma, and then there is aprarabdha karma. Aprarabdha means those who are not manifest yet. So they are unmanifest. That means it is not yet fructified, but it will fructify. It will bring a sinful reaction in subsequent time, subsequent lives, or subsequent in this life or the other lifetimes. You know. So among the unfelt, unmanifest, aprarabdha karma, then there is called kuta. So in this lifetime, even though he is not going to suffer, but he has this proclivity. What is proclivity? Proclivity means tremendous inclination, propensity, enjoyment, allurement is there. No? So let's say somebody, for example, is going to be destined to become a in this life, you know. So what happens? He has not yet stolen anything yet, but he begins to express speaking lies and things like that, you know. So that kind of upright karma is called akuta. Kuta means this stain, that proclivity is there, propensity is there, before he actually commits that thing. And then that leads to the bija form, then the seed develops. That means the seed for that he is going to commit, given an opportunity to commit that, you know. And then bija fructifies and then it becomes prarabdha karma. So these are the four stages that the way sinful reactions fructifies. So that's what we are hearing about. So Krishna speaks about the destruction of upraga. So devotional service takes care of all the both prarabdha karma as well as prarabdha. Even when whatever that is fructifying already means that we are suffering, Krishna takes, and it's a powerful bhakti process purifies those sinful reactions as well. So here Krishna is talking to Uddhava about the aprarabdha karmas, okay? Speaks about the destruction of aprarabdha sins or the unmanifest reactions which also perpetuate the inclination towards further sinful acts. You know, just like I tell you about that, this proclivity, kuta, you know. So just as blazing fire burns a pile of firewood to ashes, devotion to me, O Uddhava, destroys all sins. So all the aprarabdha karma coming from kuta or bija form, they are all going to be destroyed. Even one which is already become prarabdha, which is already suffering, that also is taken care of that. So this is now from the sixth canto again. This is again the glorification of chant process of the Lord Nitya, Ajaman story. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental mismatch. Now, if one is going onwards on the bhakti karma, he just began, he started chanting, but before he could even reach perfection, suppose he accidentally dies, then what happens actually? Would that be total waste of what? Because we have not yet attained perfection. What will happen there? So here he's talking about that. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of the house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life. So one is very worried about that. That I have started chanting, but I have not reached my perfection yet. I should be chanting 16 rounds, but now right now I am chanting only six rounds. You know, so I have a long way to go. And now he is about to suffer great calamity. You know. So his sinful reaction is not purified as yet, he would think that. So now I need to go to hellish planet. But no, Krishna takes notice of that. At least he will be chanting six rounds. So what he will do, he will give another opportunity. He will go in a favorable circumstances and he will continue from that point onwards actually. So he will be prevented going to hellish planet. Just like Krishna prevented the Krishna sent messengers, Vishnu Dutas, and they prevented the Yamadutas to take Ajamil to hellish planets. Ajamil had committed a lot of sins, but he had done before that some good devotional service actually. So that came handy. And of course, he was given another opportunity and continued from that path, on that path onwards actually. He was prevented going to hellish planets. So this is the actual story about that, you know. Actual pastimes. So if one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of the house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. See that? What more can we ask? That is the power of devotional service. That is why this famous verse, often repeated, often like this verse very much. This is from the second canto, first canto, second chapter. Tasmad Bharat Sarvatma Bhagavan Hari Ishwara. Tasmad Bharat Sarvatma Bhagavan Hari Ishwara. Shrotam Viha Kirtim Yascha Smartam Yascha Ichita Abhayam. Ichita Abhayam. Ichita means those who are desiring. Abhayam, fearlessness. So those who are desiring to become fearless, what should they do that? So they should, the recommendation by Sutta Goswami is this. Always hear, chant, and remember the Lord, who is what? He is Sarvatma. He is the Supreme Soul. And He is Bhagavan. And He is taking away all our difficulties. He is the Supreme Controller, Ishwara. So this is a very nice verse actually. Again, let's repeat that verse again. Tasmad Bharat, therefore, now the word therefore you utilize, why therefore? Therefore means say that after committing all these things, your difficulty is going through, then what you should do that? If you don't do that, the significance of therefore, Acharya has explained that, the significance of word therefore means that if you don't do this, if you don't chant, hear, then remember and do this devotional service, then what will happen? Then you will suffer all these things, you will have to go through this experience. So therefore, it is higher, a person desiring freedom from fear should hear about, glorify and remember the Supreme Lord Sri Hari, who is the master and the supreme soul of everyone. 215. And here Sukadeva Goswami is talking now. Again, this is 6th canto. So, 6th canto, you hear a lot more about that. Only a rare person who has adopted a complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful reactions. There is no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. See that now, this is a very good example, very good analogy. Now, that is what is the message here? See, I put it in the red letter. What is the message here? So, message here, just as the sun's very nature to dissipate the fog. Now, sun, the heat of the sun, the light, it's by its very nature, as soon as sun, when there's a foggy morning is there, in the US, we see many times actually. When the cool air mass meets the hot air mass, then the fog develops in the morning. But as soon as the sun rises, immediately the fog will burn out. It's the very nature of the sun. There's no independent endeavor the sun is making that. It's the very sun is rising like always every day, and automatically the fog is burned out. The same way, exactly the same way, Krishna, devotees of the Lord, destroys all of their sins simply by bhakti. So in bhakti's very nature is like that, taking care of all the sinful reactions. So the implication is that the devotees don't even endeavor to get free from his sins. We don't have to make any effort to, how that we should not even worry about that, or to make our bhakti process by the dint of our devotional service, all sinful reactions are going to be steadily dissipating from our century. So see that, what stronger proof, what stronger kind of things can you expect? It should make you more and more stabilized, strengthen your resolve to stay fixed in devotional service. So bhakti by its very nature destroys sin. Text 127. Bhakti surpasses jnana in purification of the sin. Of sins. So Sukadeva Goswami again, my dear king, if a sinful person engages in the service of a bona fide devotee of the Lord, now here the Sadhu Sangha comes into play. How powerful Sadhu Sangha is there, the devotee association. So my dear king, if a sinful person engages in the service of a bona fide devotee of the Lord and thus learns how to dedicate his life under the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be completely purified. One cannot be purified merely by undergoing austerity, penance, brahmacharya and other methods of atonement. I have previously discussed. See what happens. There are some atonement procedures are there. The Vedas mentioned, Vedic Shastra mentions that Prabhupada, you know, you do this and do that and you atone. But this is like actually an elephant taking a bath in a river, and immediately he would going to tumble in the sand actually, and again he went dirty. Again he has to go back, take bath in the river. So atonement is like that, because it does not remove the very seed of sinful proclivity from our heart. So just like church, you know, Christianity, they said you go to the church and ask, but he is going to forgive, and then again the very next morning you go and commit the same sin again and again. Because the beach, the seed, the clarity that he has here in his heart is not being taken away. The only way to take away the very root, uproot of it, that is by devotional service. So atonement procedures does not take, it does not purify the heart, it does not take away the seed of that sinful reaction. That is the part Srila Jiva Goswami is talking about. Well, the understanding is that the obviously great so here bhakti is direct purification, not a divine device of atonement. A doubt may be raised here from the incident of Indra. Now here again we are talking about the sixth canto story. One of the big story is Ajamil, then another big story in second canto, sixth canto, is about Dhritarashtra. I told you before, he was a great bee of the Lord, Chitaketu, and how he had to come in the demoniac life because of this, the curse that he received from Mata Parvati, even for a small offense. Nonetheless, he was even in the demoniac devotee actually. So Krishna arranged to have Dhritarashtra killed, you know, because he was demon. So by Indra, so he, Krishna gave him the direction how to prepare this vajra, this thunderbolt as a weapon to kill this Dhritarashtra, you know. So Indra did that, of course, you know. There is a long discussion about that, we can do right now. But nonetheless, so point here is that Indra here had killed this great, great devotee of the Lord, even in a demoniac body. Nonetheless, you know, he would be suffering sinful reaction, because he did commit sin now. Yeah. So then he was recommended to do certain atonement, you know. So here, a doubt may be raised from the incident of Indra killing Dhritarashtra. Even though Dhritarashtra was cursed to take birth as a demon, he was nonetheless a great devotee in whom love the Lord was manifest. So how could Indra's offense of killing such a great devotee be counteracted by worship of the Lord? So this is the point. So he was recommended to seek shelter of the Lord actually, you know, because he killed Dhritarashtra, a demon nonetheless, he was a great devotee, you know. So by simply taking, you know, worshipping the Lord, do you think is, you know, the question here, how could he nullify the offense in the committing sinful reaction by killing Dhritarashtra, you know? Because the, what is the normal understanding, what is the an understanding here, let's go to the next page. The understanding is that then offense to a great devotee can be nullified only by suffering the consequences of one's transgression or by receiving the grace of the devotee. So here the point we learned many times before, and this is another one example I'm giving you. Remember at the very beginning of the class, I told you that you will learn something new thing today here. So here, this is the one first thing, you know. We will learn a couple of more, you know. So here, the point is here. We learn so many, repeating the all the time, Vaishnava Parada. Remember the great Durvasa Muni, how he offended Ambarish Maharaj, the great, great Lord. And then Lord sent Sudarshan Chakra, which was chasing after Durvasa Muni. He was running from one end of the universe to another end of the universe, and he sought help from Lord Brahma. None of them could help, you know. Then he went all the way to Vaikuntha and sought the help from Lord Vishnu himself, actually. Please save me, you know. Even Lord Vishnu there said, no, I can't do that, because you really offended my great devotee. Only if he, I am unable to help you, because I am totally at loss now. You have to go and beg forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj himself. If he is willing to do it, then only my Sudarshan Chakra will be withdrawn, otherwise not. So the Lord could not help him, you know. So that is the such a great Vaishnava Aparadha. It's so great, we have to really, really worry about a lot about a possible Vaishnava Aparadha. Yeah. So here is the question here. Indra actually killed Lord's greatest devotee, exalted devotee. So it's a Vaishnava Aparadha. How could he then seeking worshipping, to worship the Lord, and Lord would pardon him? It's not possible. So that is understand. So how to understand this? This is what is explaining here now. So here is what we are. You are learning, going to learn something new here. So here is the explanation of this dilemma. Indra, first of all, killed the devotee in the guise of a demon only upon being inspired by the Lord himself. Actually, the Lord himself inspired. Lord had already designed, actually. And Lord had multiple purposes, actually, here. You know? And it's explained in a very great detail in the sixth canto. Really, it's a very, very important point here. You know? So, Indra, on one hand, he was directly inspired by the Lord himself to kill Dhritarashtra, because he was a demon, actually. Yeah? So, demon had to be killed, actually, otherwise he was a threat, you know. And therefore, killing the demon, Indra did not commit any such offense, first of all, that one point. And hence, worship of the Lord was the only atonement prescribed for him, as in part of an atonement only, okay? By the same token, the Lord had Indra to kill Dhritarashtra so that he could be released from the curse which had condemned him acquisition. So that Lord had dual purpose, actually. So Indra was just as a kind of instrument in that Lord's instrument. You know? So first he inspired Indra to kill him. So it was for the Lord's mission, actually, that Indra did that, actually, you know. And second point, Lord, another intention was to really bring back Dhritarashtra back to spiritual world. And only way it is possible that it could be killed by him, by his own plan, by Lord's plan only. And Dhritarashtra himself knew about that. And he was encouraging all the time during the war that please kill me now. You have been given this powerful weapon. Why are you hesitating? You know. He was taunting him all the time, actually. this is what really happened, actually. So this is the point here. So Lord had dual purpose. This is a very similar thing. You can Vijay, the Dwarpalas, the doorkeepers of the Lord in Vaikuntha, were crushed by four Kumaras. Now, four Kumaras were, when they learned about that, they were very, very repentful, actually. But they committed a great, great offense by crushing the Lord's great confidential associate. And the Dwarpals also, doorkeepers also were feeling guilty that they have prevented the Lord's devotee, the Kumaras, and all they wanted was to visit Lord Vishnu. So both of them, they were feeling guilty in that. But Lord Kate said that, no, it all happened by my own arrangement, actually. Nobody is all responsible for that. So this is what exactly happened then, you know. Okay, text 128. Bhakti destroys even manifest reaction. Now, we already talked about that. Bypass that. See, Similarly, the disease is causing a problem. So now here, sometimes we suffer from diseases like cancer and so on, like I have a heart disease now. So this also, Shastra says, that disease is also because of some sinful reactions we committed in the previous life. So even that also can be taken care of by devotional service. Saying that the gross person, the prarabdha sins are also destroyed, as the following verse from Skanda Purana, simply by remembering the unlimited Lord and chanting His holy names, all mental anxieties and bodily ailments suffering because of the diseases, has immediately disappeared. I offer obeisance unto Him. So now you might ask me the question, what happened then? Why great devotees, they suffer cancer and all these things, and they have to suffer and die actually. Like Bhakti Chitta Swami Maharaj, remember, he had cancer, skin cancer, and I know firsthand because he was in Washington, D.C. actually. So you might ask, how come that Lord did that? But here again, this is sometimes Lord uses His own devotees to establish an example for a non-devotee like others to learn from their attitude. So devotees sometimes suffer because of that, And then of course they are trying to go back to spiritual world. Like for my mother, she is suffering even at 94. But I know, based on whatever realization I got from Srila Bhagavatam, that she is going back to spiritual world right in this lifetime, after this lifetime, So just because they are suffering, their suffering is not exactly the same platform as a non-devotee will be suffering. That's the point here. Okay? So here with the four stages of sin, I already explained to you. Aparadva karma, again, aparadva karma is kuta, bija, ko, and so like that. In prarabdha karma, we are already suffering, fructified. Then text 130. Bhakti dispels ignorance. Remember I told you that when we come to this material world, what is the first thing Maya does that, that it covers our true knowledge, who we are. We are spiritual, we are not this body, and we are meant to serve the Supreme Lord. Maya should completely cover that, and then fills our memory with the false kind of things that took us enjoy everything, So here, Swayam Gumanu is instructing Dhruva Maharaj. Now, Dhruva Maharaj, his stepbrother was killed by a Gandharva, and Dhruva Maharaj became very mad, and then he was about to wipe out the entire race of the Gandharvas. So that time his grandfather, Swayam Gumanu, comes and tries to pacify him actually. Dhruva Maharaj, of course, So thus regaining your natural position and rendering service in the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure, and who lives in all living entities as the Super Soul, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and mine. You think that you are protecting, you are taking revenge of your brother, I and me and mine, that kind of thing, That forget that it's not, that you are a great devotee, you shouldn't be thinking like that. That's how your grandfather was instructing Guru Maharaj. Okay, so now here we'll take a little break here and see what you have so far understood. And if there are any questions, so we'll take a short break and see if I can answer some of your questions, And then we'll resume the rest of it. Now we are running a little bit short of time now, so let's see if we can talk about at least 5 to 10 minutes. Hari Bol. Some more exciting things yet to come actually. Some surprising things to come. Okay. Sanjeev, so far clear. Very good. any other point you want to make? Comments? Okay, so let's take a little 5 minutes break, okay? So you can relax and then we can resume in 5 minutes, okay? Exactly 5 minutes. come take some questions, please ask me, okay? I'll be right back in 5 minutes. Some bhakti. Gokul Priya Mataji, lecture also talks about the topics, right, Guruji? I can stop devotional service. Sharad Prabhu, very, very clear, Guruji. Gokul Prabhu, Hare Krishna, one of the slides mentioned Maya cannot disturb the devotee and assist the devotee, but as devotees, when we see Maya entering in family relationship or relationship with devotees, we sometimes are not able to view Maya as someone who is testing us. So how to see Maya as our friend in those tough situations? Actually, Maya is being, to my understanding, Maya is actually, will believe it or not, she is a devotee of the Lord actually. And she's participating in Lord's pastimes, you know. So she does is really screening us if we are truly some devotees or not, actually. She's testing us all the time. So she provides all the elements for a devotee, and sometimes we get tracked with that, you know, even though being a devotee, actually. But because we are a devotee, the Lord helps us. And then Maya, in that sense, actually, she really, as soon as we regain and we begin our chanting and the digital activity back, she really takes that step, actually, you know. So she is not the one who is totally preventing us. Her job is to take us away from Krishna if we are totally lost. But nonetheless, if a devotee from his conviction, then she no longer harasses such a devotee. There is a Gopi Prabhu is actually asking, who's testing us. Maya does test us all the time. And that is her role actually, appointed by the Lord himself. So how to see Maya, our friend, in those tough situations? So it's like we are taking an exam. You know, we all have anxiety whenever we take an exam, right? The exams are meant to make sure that we understand the subject or not, you know. So even a taking exam is just, so Maya is just taking our exam, you know. So we have to think from that point of view, actually, you know. So in that case, she is really as a friend to us. So she is making sure that we qualify, truly we qualify to serve the Lord, actually, in that sense. So she prepares us and get sensitized against those allurements, you know. Right, Prabhuji? It's a short answer. Thank you, Prabhuji. Okay, let's resume now. So now, text 131. So now we are going to see the nourishing aspect. We are already seeing the purifying aspect, purifying power of devotional service. Now the nourishing power, spiritual nourishment we are talking about, okay? So here, text 131, 132, so bhakti nourishes all, everyone. So as pouring on the root of the tree energizes the trunk, branches, twigs and everything else, and as supplying food to the stomach enlivens the senses and the limbs in the body, simply by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service, automatically satisfies the demigods. And who are part of that Supreme Personality. So here again, those who are still, you know, could not get away from demigod worship, you know. Now, I remember I used to worship Lord Shiva before I became Krishna devotee, you know. So in the beginning, when I was in a transition period, I was feeling kind of guilty that, you know, that I might be offending Lord Shiva or what. But Lord Shiva himself, I found out Lord Shiva himself is a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, you know, Lord Krishna. So in fact, sometimes Krishna, Lord Shiva himself promotes such a devotee and puts us and could kind of help us to become a better Krishna devotee, actually, you know. So this is what happens. Okay, Maitreya Muni is speaking to Vidura Mahatma. Maitreya Muni is explaining about the Dhruva Maharaj's pastime. Suruchi, the younger mother of Dhruva Maharaj, seeing that the innocent boy had fallen at her feet, immediately picked him up, embracing him with her friends, with her hands, and with tears of feeling, she blessed him with the words, "My dear boy, long may you live unto one whose transcendental quality due to friendly behavior with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All living beings are offer honor just as water automatically flows down by nature." So see, she's the same stepmother who had offended Guru Maharaj, you know, and that's how he actually went to seek. Initially, he had the desire to get greater kingdom than his even grandfather, you know. But then after having seen face to face Lord Vishnu, then he became a great devotee. So now he's returning after that. So everyone was really welcome. And even his stepmother changed her heart. And now she's actually congratulating him and saying the same thing about that. You know? So that is what she's saying, the same thing. If you please Lord Vishnu, then he pleases everyone else automatically. Okay, this is a famous verse again, another famous verse Prabhupada used to often quote, you know, that all the devotional qualities, all the godly qualities automatically develop in a devotee's, the personality, all the desirable traits. Because this is one of the aspects that my hypothesis is based on that actually, you know. And this is what I take this, my inspiration from Shastra, because this is centuries old observation, that when a person becomes a devotee, all the nasty habits, all the undesirable traits in his personality, they are dissipating. And all the godly qualities, desirable qualities that are developing in his personality, you know. So this is what this verse is all about. Hishyasti bhaktir bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarva gunesh tasto tatra samasate suraha arao bhaktasya kuto mahat gunaha manorathay nasi dhavato bahi. All the demigods and their exalted qualities such as religion, knowledge and renunciation become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material qualities, material activities, has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his body, his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations. Must engage the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? So you see, again, the contrast here between a devotee and a non-devotee. Devotee, without endeavoring independently himself, just by the means of his devotion, so automatically desirable qualities develop in him, and undesirable qualities dissipate. There is one who is non-devotee, actually, he may be doing all these different routes, mystic yoga and so on, all kind of things. But still he becomes the victim of Krishna's illusory potency and he falls down. Bhakti is also the cause of experiencing all varieties of bliss, either through promotion to heaven, liberation from material existence, or attainment of the Lord's personal abode. This is stated by the Lord himself. Everything that can be achieved by fruitive activities, penance, knowledge, detachment, mystic yoga, charity, religious peace, and all other means of perfecting life is easily achieved by my devotees through loving service unto me. If somehow or other my devotee desires promotion to heaven liberation or resonance in my abode, he easily achieves such manager. So that when you become a Krishna devotee, Krishna automatically can provide everything what what the non-devotee might be aspiring for that. But his devotees, Krishna devotee themselves will refute that, will come down that offer actually. So that is how Krishna, bhakti towards Krishna purifies one's heart. He no longer wants those things. So in the beginning he might have the desire that Krishna will provide that thing, and at the same time will purify his, not to have the desire again. But Krishna is willing to give him that everything, and that's what there are so many examples of replicate in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is given, like Dhruva Maharaj, you know. Even Dhruva, when he became actually so, he first material desire, he won a kingdom greater than his grandfather also. But after having audience with the Lord face to face, he said, what a terrible thing. I came for a piece of rock and I got a diamond actually, you know. So he didn't want anything. Nonetheless, Krishna provided him a kingdom while he was a material planet, earthly planet, 35,000 years. And after that, he gave him the Dhruva Loka actually, you know. So Krishna does that. The one who has fixed his consciousness on me, desires neither the position or abode of Lord Brahma or Lord Indra. So you can see the devotees, even the Lord is willing to give him, devotees turn down that, you know. No empire on his earth, no sovereignty in the lower planet system, no the eightfold perfection of yoga, no the liberation from birth and death. Such a desire, person desires me alone, he says. So devotee only desires Krishna. Wherever Krishna sends him, he is happy. All he wants is being able to serve him wherever he might be. And now, the last aspect is bhakti is nirguna. Here, now we are running a little bit over time. Okay, please bear with me a few more minutes. Bhakti is nirguna, or free from the influence of material qualities. Even karma offered to the Lord is saguna, or within the material qualities, as Krishna himself attests to it. So here, those prescribed duties, remember that the Varnashram system, that first, you know, Lord has created this Varnashram system, and each person in a particular given position in the Varnashram system, they have their own prescribed duties, and their prescribed duties are designed to purify him and ultimately bring him to the platform. But before he comes to the devotional platform, he does that actually. So what he's supposed to do that, he performs prescribed duties and offer the results back to the Lord. But even that is not comparable to the devotional service. That's the point here Krishna is making here. The work performed as an offering to me without consideration of the fruit is considered to be in the material mode of goodness. So that's a good thing, the material mode of goodness, you know. But work performed with the desire to enjoy the result is in the mode of passion. Work impaired by the violence and envy is in the mode of ignorance. So he's defining things. But even in the material mode of goodness is good, because it's a stepping stone coming to the pure bhakti level. Satvam sanjayate jnanam satvam yad brahma darshanam. Okay, text 134. Knowledge of Bhagavan is nirguna, the transcendental. So this is transcendental knowledge. And that is nirguna, that means transcendental platform. It has no material qualities. Actual knowledge is in the mode of goodness. Knowledge based on the duality is in the mode of passion. And foolish materialistic knowledge is in the mode of ignorance. Knowledge based upon me, however, is understood to be transcendental. So Krishna himself speaking now, the Uddhava Gita. Knowledge of Bhagavan can be available even to those who are not situated in Sattva Guna. Now here's something new. I was telling you, remember that you are going to learn something new, that this is the point actually I was stunned when I read this thing. Again, let me read again. Knowledge of Bhagavan can be available even to those who are not situated in Sattva Guna. All this time I was under the impression that one first come to this mode of goodness, that is the stepping stone, then everything is going to be revealed to him actually. But here, no, Krishna is ready to give someone even attain the mode of goodness yet. How? Yes, sir. King Parishad inquired to, so this is all started, Sudev Goswami was asked by Parishad Maharaj. Remember, this is, now listen very carefully, it's a very important point here. Parishad Maharaj is asking his spiritual master Sudev Goswami. All line in Brahmana, demons are generally sinful, being obsessed with the mode of passion and ignorance. How then could Dhritarasura have attained such exalted love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana? Now see that? As a demon, Dhritarasura was supposed to be the mode of passion and ignorance. And then the fact that it's supposed to be like that. But remember, because we have done reversal service in the previous lifetime actually. But there's another good reason is given here now. Listen to that carefully. So Dhritarasura received bhakti by the association of Narada Muni. See that? His previous birth. Sadhu Sangha is the only cause of Nirguna Bhakti. So devotee association comes a long, long way actually. It's really, you can't underestimate that. So even though demonic body, he received bhakti actually in a previous life by Narada Muni, association of Narada Muni. So even though in the Vitasara body, in the demonic body, he was supposed to be the lower modes of material nature, but nonetheless, his bhakti was protected, that is a great thing actually. Just like Bharat Maharaj, even though he was in a deer's body, he still could remember Gajendra, even the elephant body, he could remember his ability to offer prayers because of his bhakti in the previous lifetime. So as an animal species, of course, obviously, they were under the control of Maya, the lower modes, but Krishna protects. So here, the Gopi Guru's question that he was asking just a moment ago, this is the point here again to remember that, Okay, this is another famous verse. Uvayam lavena api na swarga na punar bhavam bhagvat sandhi sangasya martya nam kim uta asisha. We cannot equate even a moment's association of the devotee who is deeply attached to the Lord with the attainment of heaven or liberation. So what to speak of petty blessings desired by mortal beings? So see that this is the glorification of a devotee association. In a bhakti, especially if you desire pure bhakti, we must always seek out and serve such advanced Vaishnavas, only has that kind of bhakti. Although the Lord is merciful to all, His grace is different types according to individual disposition and desire. Why did He kill the demons? Even Dhritarasura is exalted devotee for Indra's sake, just like a man of vested interest. No, that's not the point here. No, Krishna is not like an ordinary person, He had a bigger purpose here, So here that stands here. All learned ones, so here, the point here is what he's saying that, let me read again. Although the Lord is merciful to all, His grace is of different types according to an individual's disposition and desire. So why did He kill the demons, even Dhritarasura, His exalted devotee, for the Indra's sake, just like a demon, a man of vested interest? So Krishna had dual purpose here. I told you before that here he wanted Indra to regain his heavenly kingdom back, because he was a demigod, from the demigods, and he, Lord, wanted Dhritarasura to be killed because he wanted to take Dhritarasura back to spiritual world, So here, in the sixth canto, it explained very nicely here, Prabhupada's purport here, that actually Indra got a lower thing, even though he was, his kingdom was returned to him and he had the victory over Mitsura, my Lord's own, Vajra, the thunderbolt. But remember, he was still in the material, Indra was still in the material world. Heavenly planets, he was the king of the material, heavenly planet, nonetheless part of the material universe. it must come to the end at certain time. You know, then Ritrasura, he was killed by Indra, so he got a lower thing, but actually he was promoted. He was able to go back to spiritual world. So he got a bigger reward by the Lord because of his bhakti, whereas Indra was still on a material platform. That's the point here. Oh, learned ones, by visiting or dwelling, this is again another famous word, Sushushasana Dhanasya Vasudeva Dharuji. Sam Mahatsevaya Vipraha Punya Tirtham Nishevanat. Translation, oh, learned ones, by visiting or dwelling in a holy place, a person gets an opportunity to associate with great devotees and to render service unto them. By such service, a person awakens faith and an interest in hearing narration about the Lord, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, taste for hearing Vasudeva Katha, Krishna Katha. So that also comes by devotee association. So the knowledge of Brahman is Saguna. So now, if again I'm going to summarize because of the time. Here, knowledge of Brahman, absolute truth is in three aspects, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So here, a doubt will be raised from the statement, my glory is called, so Krishna is himself saying that my glory is called Parabrahma, by my mercy you will realize it in your heart, then I will explain it, being questioned by you. If so, how then do we understand that Brahma Jnana, or knowledge of the Brahman, Brahman realization, is the mode of goodness? Okay? The material mode of goodness, how is it possible then? So, answer is this. Brahma Jnana appears in two types of people. Those who worship the Lord, obtaining as a concomitant effect of bhakti, whereas the worship of Brahman obtains it independently. So here again, it depends on the consciousness. So those jnanis who want Brahman realization, they get it there. But that's not exactly the same as a devotee, you know. So devotee, by the dint of their bhakti, recognizes some distinction between the self and Brahman. He knows the difference. Whereas the jnanis doesn't know that. So they also accept it as an attainment, as an attendant to the transcendent devotion to the Lord. The worshipper of the Brahman, however, accepts Brahma Jnana without recognizing such distinction. So that's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee, those who are Jnanis. They aspire Brahman realization to their devotees to become liberated from material existence. Okay? So that they are limited by that. Whereas a devotee knows the difference between Brahman and Bhagavan. So for the jnani, the Brahman realization is actually on the material platform, so material mode of goodness nonetheless, you know. But for devotee, it's actually the transcendental level, literally. So one is to understand properly here. 135-136, the abode of Bhagavan and action for him are neighbors. So just like here, I'm not going to go further than that. So just like a Lord abode, just like the Lord himself, we heard this in Bhagavad Sandarbha also, Lord's abode is also transcendental, just like the Lord, you know. It's transcendental. So I'm going to bypass that. And this is the final slide. Faith that impels devotion in dharma rooted in Bhagavan is nirguna. So here, the Paro Dharma, the Bhagavad Dharma, is on a transcendental platform, and same is a faith in the Lord. Unlike the occupational duties, those are actually on the material platform. Faith directed towards spiritual life is in the mode of goodness. Faith rooted in fruitive work is in the mode of passion. Faith residing in the religious state. So faith is also according to the different modes. But the transcendental one, when the faith in the Lord is a transcendental platform. Sukadeva Goswami, after hearing the distinguished discourses between Yamaduta and Vishnuduta, Ajamil could understand the religious principles that act under the three modes of material nature. These principles are mentioned in three Vedas. You could also understand the transcendental religious principles. So here, again, the two kinds of religion, which is on the material platform, those and Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare Hare Karaya Dhara Sampati, you know, those are on the material platform, even though they are doing these activities. But that's not kind of religion we are talking about. It's Bhagavad Dharma. That religion, for the sake of understanding and realizing the Supreme, that is on the transcendental platform. Alright? So with that, I'll stop here and take questions. Hare Krishna. I hope you learned something important here in today's lesson. There are so many, quite a few nice things there. I learned myself when I was preparing for the class. Thank you so much, and we are already so much past our time. So I'm going to request, if Dishana is still there, to conclude the class with national prayer. Dishana, are you there? I'm not sure if she's there. If she's not there, somebody else can do that national prayer. Hare Krishna. Dishana, are you there? Yes, she's here. Thank you.